Railroad fans and transportation advocates may mourn when a railroad line goes out of business, but that right-of-way with its gentle curves and grades certainly can have other uses, and does in many places. Turning old railroad lines into trails is not a new practice. The process is currently underway in Siskiyou and Shasta counties, where two sections of the Great Shasta Rail Trail are already open and longer sections are planned to follow. Just think about the view from the trail winding east and south from Mount Shasta. April Gray is the president of the Great Shasta Rail Trail Association and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Thanks for joining us today, April.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I appreciate the opportunity.
I didn't realize how involved a process this was, that actually the discussions about what to do with the right-of-way began when there were still a railroad line open.
That's right. The process of developing a rail trail starts when a railroad decides to shut down operations, which is quite a long process in itself. And when a railroad files with the Service Transportation Board to shut down, then that's the time when a nonprofit can step forward and offer to be an interim trail user to develop a trail after the tracks and ties are taken up.
So this story actually goes back a dozen years or more then, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. The effort started back in 05, I believe. It's when the railroad first started shutting down that section.
And so how did the pieces come together? I mean, did the railroad notify members of the community in such a way that if they had other ideas for uses of the right-of-way, that could come to the fore? Or did it all sort of come out of the Surface Transportation Board?
It all came out of the Service Transportation Board, but the process involves public notification. So that's how the news first got out, is an alert group in Burnie actually got the notification of the shutdown of the railroad and started activities toward developing a trail.
So let's talk about the original railroad line itself. I mean, it actually connects with what was the Southern Pacific, now the Union Pacific, at Mount Shasta City. There's a pretty steep and curvy line with a switchback over the shoulder of Mount Shasta, which takes it into McLeod, and then from McLeod all the way to Burnie, and at one time Hambone as well, right?
That's right.
So this is
It was a very active line. It would was originally built to haul logs and then finished lumber, and then eventually was hauling agricultural goods from Burnie to Mount Shasta, and there, at one point there was a passenger train that ran on that line. So it was a very big transportation corridor for the region for quite a few years.
You know, the mind comes to similar stories even within our region of railroads converted to trails. The old Oregon Pacific and Eastern right-of-way east out of Cottage Grove, gently curving and climbing up to Dorena Lake, is now a paved trail. So it has certainly been done in the past, but how involved a process did this look to be at the outset, April?
Oh, at the outset, those of us who were originally involved felt like it looked like a pretty straightforward thing to do, and that we could just file the papers and raise the money and make it happen. And it turns out it took many more years.
Not quite as straightforward as you thought, huh?
No, it's, you know, 80 miles of anything is bound to be complicated, but the whole line was put together over a period of 50 years, about 100 years ago when it started, and title to property and who owns what and where the line goes. It's a complicated puzzle to put together.
Well, that I would think would be a major part of it, because as I look at the way that railroad rights of way are constructed, they are essentially easements over other people's land. And so if a railroad goes inert, as the McLeod Railway was about to, do those easements in some cases lapse back to the original owners?
No, they don't. That's the beauty of the federal process under the Surface Transportation Board. If through the interim trail user process, we retained the rights, all the rights that the railroad had. So easements we inherited easements from the railroad, any agreements that were made as far as the railroad passing through private property or even government property, those rights we still retain through the interim trail user rights.
We're talking to April Gray, who's the president of the Great Shasta Rail Trail Association. The Great Shasta Rail Trail opened in a couple of sections already on the old right-of-way of the McLeod Railway, which, as we talked about, extend the portion that can be trail extends east from McLeod and then on the way south to Burney, ultimately, on the Shasta County side. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. And I know there are other rail trails in development talks around the region. You can join us on the Exchange. We'd like to hear about those at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So there is, as you mentioned, the thought that at least at first it might have been fairly straightforward that the rights of way don't lapse back to the original owners. But how involved was it then to try to make sure that you could assert some sense of right-of-way, continuing to be a right-of-way?
Well, the process of that is pretty straightforward. We had assistance from the Rails to Trails Conservancy. They're an advocate for rail trails and have attorneys and staff that are very familiar with the process. So we got good assistance from them as far as how to deal with those kind of issues. The complications came in teaching the local counties who had to register the change of ownership as to how all that worked. So it was just a matter of teaching people what we had learned and hiring a lawyer to help us enforce that.
I was going to ask you about attorneys. So this did run into some money then, didn't it?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So rail banking is part of this process. How does that work?
Well, the federal government many years ago realized that as economic climates change and railroads want to shut down because they're not making money, that corridors could be lost and would be very difficult to put together again. As you can imagine, trying to restart a railroad without saving that corridor that was already established. So they developed a system where the public could enjoy the corridor by turning it into a trail, but at the same time, the trail owner would be responsible for preserving the corridor so that if the economic climate changed and it was, again, economically feasible to run a railroad, that they would be willing to sell the property back to a railroad developer. So the idea is that the interim trail user is the keeper of the corridor, and so it's a good responsibility, and it's good for a community to have that new recreation facility, but at the same time have a very valuable corridor preserved in case economic climate changes and the railroad would again be feasible.
To your knowledge, April, from your dealings with rail banking and the Rails to Trails Conservancy, have any rail lines turned back into rail lines from trails?
To my knowledge, I had heard of one small section that actually was converted to a railroad. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where that is, but
right,
that information is probably available on the Rails to Trails Conservancy website.
Okay, so definitely the exception rather than the rule, by all means.
Yes.
So talk about then the development. We've gotten let us get bogged down in some of the procedural matters here, but this is exciting to be able to have this right of way available, particularly in view of Mount Shasta.
Oh, that's that's why this trail came to be, because it is just such a beautiful, beautiful idea. And it's a really nice way to develop a trail, is because the damage to the environment was already done years ago when the corridor was built, and you don't have to do a lot of years of planning as far as where the trail will go and how it will be. It's, the trail is there, and it's through just beautiful woods and meadows, and is a corridor to bring people to other recreation areas that are nearby. So it's we're really excited about it. A group of us have been working on this since 2009 and are still working on it, because it's such a good idea, and people that go out just love it.
Is the trail, April, open to all non-motorized uses? In other words, is it hikers and bikers and horses?
Hikers and bikers. We recommend the more fat tire bikes, because the cinders tend to be pushed aside by the narrow tires. Hikers love it. It's a nice walk. Runners, we're hoping for enough snow to be able to invite cross-country skiers next winter, and any non-motorized use is welcome, and it's being used right now. People will tell you it's a great experience.
And in fact, it's called the Great Shasta Rail Trail. We're talking to April Gray, the president of the Great Shasta Rail Trail Association. Questions or comments, welcome on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So has there been any resurfacing? Have you put anything on the trail that wasn't there already? I mean, once the, obviously the tracks and ties are gone.
Tracks and ties are gone, and the big heavy trucks that haul those out really patch the cinders down nicely. So there's on most of the trail, there's a nice packed cinder bed for comfortable use.
And so the sections that are open now, it's a few miles east of McLeod, it looks like, from a place called, is it Pilgrim Road?
Pilgrim Creek Road.
Mm-hmm.
Three miles east of McLeod, turn left onto Pilgrim Creek Road, and go 1 mile, and you're at the trail.
Okay, and so how far can you go on that portion of the trail?
That portion of the trail, you can go almost 40 miles up to Hambone.
Wow, that's a good long way. And, and the other section is open in the Burney area, as I see.
Yes, a seven-mile section from Black Butte Road, where the Burney trailhead will be, up to the Lake Britton Bridge.
So, and I was going to ask you about bridges and some of the other infrastructure that come with railroads. I mean, will those be able to be maintained for use for the trail?
Yes, they're definitely part of the trail, and we've had engineering studies done on all the trail infrastructure. So putting together a long-term plan as to how we're going to be able to open the rest of the trail by repairing bridges and retrofitting them to make them safe for pedestrian use.
So is that the major issue then between Lake Britton and Bartle Gap, where there is right-of-way but not open trail at this point?
Yes. We also had some quite severe damage over this last winter. There was just so much precipitation that we had some washout of the trail as well. So we're going to have some major repairs to do before we can open that section.
What kind of funds are you working with here with the Great Shasta Rail Trail Association? It sounds like you have a couple of different places you can turn to for grants and things like that. I just wonder if that's enough, though, or do you need lots of local support as well?
We definitely need lots of local support. We've been very successful in finding grants, but grantors always look to local acceptance of the project and support. They consider whether or not to add their money to the pot. So we work hard to try to get people who want to use the trail to send us a bit of money and help us show the larger grantors that the public supports what we do.
Ah, that's a good point. It's almost like matching money. They want to know that the folks at the local level are going to be behind this as well.
Yes. Don't want to impose a project on a community that doesn't really want it.
Now, I notice there is some effort and money from the National Park Service involved in the Great Shasta Rail Trail. What does that go to?
The National Park Service did not give us money, but they had an in-kind grant. They spent 3 years with us helping us develop the public process of interacting with the public. They helped us put together a 35-member planning team with organizations around Northern California helping us put together the transit plan. It's all posted on our website. Basically, the concept of the trail and an outline of how it will be developed and some ideas for designing trailheads and so on. So they were a wonderful help in giving us guidance and with their good connections in the community to plan the trail.
So, April, you do have the two major sections open and just the section between Lake Britton and Bartle Gap left to go. What's the timeline for getting that open?
Well, we hope to have it done within the next 10 years, but that's going to depend on funding.
Okay, more work left to do, clearly.
That's always a question because a lot of the money that we look to would be federal, and right now it's we're going to have to see what kind of programs get funded.
Okay, good point. We'll keep an eye on that. The April Gray is the president of the Great Shasta Rail Trail Association with two major sections open. April, thank you for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for paying attention to us.
Right,
we love the publicity. Thank you.